D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are efforting Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. He is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. So we will grab Elliot as soon as we can. Our question of the day, not to steal a gimmick from Chase and Big Joe, ranking Barry Trotz as a GM on a scale of 1 to 5. We actually do have Elliot Freeman. So let's table that, and we'll go to Elliot Freeman on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. So, Elliot, you have been at the forefront of the reporting on Jonathan Marchessault and whether or not he would be open to moving on from Nashville after one season. Barry Trotz held his pre-draft news conference a couple of days ago. He refuted those reports, saying, quote, there's no truth to any of that. So where do things stand on the Marchessault front with the Predators? Because that was a pretty strong denial from Trotz.
Well, I think right now there's probably nothing to it, in the sense that there's nothing really going on. Hold on one second. I almost have to sneeze here. I am under the impression that there was at least, I don't know how serious it was, but at least a conversation about, you know, would you want to do it? I think there was also a question internally after some of the stuff that happened both during and at the end of last year, would the Predators have to consider it? But I just don't think it went anywhere. As I mentioned to you, you know, Marchessault has the control. And I think that was very limited. Even if he was willing to do it, there would be very limited places he would be willing to do it with. And I just don't know that any of those places were feasible. So when Trotz says right now that there's no truth and it's not going anywhere, then I have no reason to dispute that at this point in time.
So, Elliot, yesterday you were reporting from the Board of Governors and you had a notebook detailing some of the things that are coming out of that. You also mentioned that the NHL has approved Bill Haslam's additional 18% purchase of the Predators, which gives him almost two-thirds ownership of the franchise. What is your sense and the sense around the league of Haslam as an owner as he transitions into that role, and how he might differ in that role than the previous controlling owner, Herb Fritch?
I don't know that we really have a good answer on that yet, Adam. I'll say this. I've heard that he's determined. I've heard that he wants to be successful quickly. Obviously he would have had a big role in knowing exactly what the Predators did a year ago on July 1st. But he's never been the majority owner until now when he gets the two-thirds. So you can't always make all of the decisions. I mean, you guys know him better than me. This is not a guy who's really interested in mediocrity. He's not a guy who's interested in being, you know, where the Predators were in the NHL last season. He's been a pretty successful guy all his life, and he wants to have good results. But I don't think we really know 100% yet what he is. I think we'll get a better idea. But the one thing I've been told about him is that he's not a guy who's going to be happy with where the Predators were last year, just like I don't think anybody else in Nashville hockey land was either.
Elliot, with the new CBA, you mentioned yesterday in your reporting that player contracts will now be term limited to a maximum of 7 years for players re-signing with their current club and 6 years for players on the free agent market. So subtracting a year from what we know now, 8 years for players re-signing with their current club, 7 years for players on the free agent market. You also mentioned that that phenomenon, perhaps, with deferred salary and contracts that's leaving too with this new CBA. How do you how do you think that those two factors, the term limited contracts moving down a year, basically no more deferred salary, how do you expect that to impact the free agent market starting Tuesday?
Well, also, I think that we should also mention, too, I didn't have it last night, but I have it. I had a note on it this morning, Adam. They're also changing. They're also capping signing bonuses. So right now, you could have almost all your salary in signing bonus except for the in-season minimum. So, for example, let's just say your actual cash this year was $16 million. The in-season minimum is $775. You could have $775 in salary and $15.25 in bonuses. They're capping that at, I think, 65%, 60 or 65. I can't remember it right now. And also, what they also used to be able to do was they used to have, well, they still do have a situation where some years could be worth more than others, but the variance couldn't be off by more than, I think, a quarter. They're shortening that to 20%. So they are really going, the owners are getting some concessions on these contracts here. It won't affect anything this year, Adam, but in a year from now, it will. I think you're going to see that. So, for example, I think John Tavares and the Toronto Maple Leafs are trying to get a deal done. I believe deferred money has been one of the proposals there. We'll see if it ends up. But it's going to be interesting to see, like, for example, on July 1st, like, Kirill Kaprizov is eligible to sign an extension. Connor McDavid is eligible to sign an extension. Jack Eichel is eligible to sign an extension. Are any of these players going to be more inclined to do it now if they want eight-year terms as opposed to wait because next July 1st, they're not going to be able to do it? I think that's going to be the biggest question. Does it get people to say, you know what, I'll commit now because I'm interested in the eighth year as opposed to seventh.
Now, Elliot, the NFL for many years, they've tried to add extra games, and they have, and they want to get to a point to where they're even playing, you know, upwards of 20 games, eliminating the preseason and in general. And now you see hockey potentially doing that, taking away some of the preseason games and adding games to the season. Do you think they will get there anytime soon? Or do you think this is one of those deals where, you know, the players are going to say no, they're going to push back extremely hard on it, and it's not going to happen?
It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. 84 games is going to happen. It's part of this deal. So basically what's going on right now, Derek, is the league and the Players Association are still meeting. And the hope is that tomorrow morning here in LA, they're going to have a press conference announcing a new CBA, and 84 games is going to be part of it. Less exhibition season. The one thing is, like, I look at the NFL now at 17 and eventually getting to 18, like, the physical toll on those players. I remember I covered the CFL, the Canadian Football League, and I saw when it went to 18 games, and the speed of the players in the CFL is incredible. They don't have the size that a lot of the NFL guys do, but I remember watching those games from the sideline and be like, I can't believe they're doing this for 18 games with how fast they go. The NHL, I think the reason they're doing it, Derek, is because it makes it easier for the schedule. You can have more games in your division than before. And there's teams out there next year playing eight regular season games, six or eight. I think that's crazy. Now, I think I will say this. There are some people who think the schedule's too compressed. They think it's too much. But I also know they're going to be happy with fewer preseason games.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, draft coming up. The crazy free agency is upon us as well. Elliot, any overlying themes right now you're seeing with some of the deals that have been done? Maybe we put Evander Kane's trade in a category of its own, but I'm talking about things like Zegras and Paterka and some of the other deals that have been done. Do you see a theme in terms of the price value that has surprised you at all?
Well, I think if you want to move money, it's actually been less of a price than...
I guess that's where I was going. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, if you look at Seattle, they really wanted to get Mason Marchment. Dallas didn't have to eat any money, so Seattle gave up, like, two mid-round picks. That's like a cheese sandwich. Vancouver going to get Evander Kane. Edmonton didn't keep any money. Vancouver basically had no cost. Also, it's, you know, a cheese sandwich.
Is it at least a grilled cheese sandwich with the right kind of cheese?
It depends. Like, do you like bacon and tomatoes on it too? Like,
right,
you can have whatever you want.
I mean, it could be just a plain cheese sandwich.
If you're buying the sandwich, you can decide what you want. Really, I think that's totally fair. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, these teams, they want to move money, and if you're willing to take the player, it doesn't cost you anything for it. Like today, like Frederick Goodrow, he's not a great player, but he's a serviceable center in the NHL. He went for like a mid-round pick, a grilled cheese sandwich. Like, it's like, there's some players here that have value. I know when Paterka got traded from Buffalo to Utah last night, he didn't go for as much as people were expecting. But those were players, at least. Like, Paterka's a valuable player. If you're looking to move money, or you're willing to take somebody because you like the player, you're not going to have to give up much to get them. I still think there's more coming here. I think there's the possibility of Bowen Byram, a defenseman from Buffalo, Rasmus Anderson, a really good defenseman from Calgary. I think there's more coming here. And then, of course, the free agents.
Let's talk about another category, and you brought it up on the podcast. And this name intrigued me because of the connection back to Barry Trotz, and that's Noah Dobson and the crossroads he's at with his contract with the Islanders and where the Islanders are. They're shaking things up. They've got kind of a new regime, and they may have to do some real deep thinking of how to progress. Is Dobson the kind of guy that it just seems like there's a lot of reasons I could list of, hey, that actually could work with the Predators. Is that worth exploring? Where do you think the Dobson thing is heading, and is it connected a lot to the Evan Bouchard situation?
Yes, it kind of is. Like, first of all, he's a right-hand shot defenseman. Those are really hard to find. He had 70 points a couple years ago. That's really impressive. He didn't have a great year this year, but neither did the Islanders, and he's 25. Like, those are guys that teams don't like to give up from time to time. Willie, one of the things that's going on in the league right now is that the salary cap has really jumped, and everybody is trying to figure out what this all means. And the agents, and that's their job, because of the salary cap jump, they are looking for big jumps. I think that Dobson, who's a year away from unrestricted free agency, is asking for about $10 million a year. I just think the Islanders, like, if you're a 70-point defenseman in this league, particularly a right-hand shot, you're going to get that. However, he hasn't done it consistently. And I think the Islanders are not convinced that they want to be the team to pay that. But it's when everybody knows that you're in this situation, it's really hard to make a deal sometimes. I think the player has absolute value. I could totally see a team like the Predators being interested. But number one, you know that that's what the player is asking for. How do you feel about offering that salary? And number two, what's the acquisition cost? Like, it's going to be a big cost. And, you know, I think the Islanders have a big decision, sign him or trade him. And I think the other teams that are looking at this, like, basically right-hand shot D, 25 years old, everybody wants him. I think the salary ask and what it's going to cost you, it's a bite. Like, if he turns out to be what he can be, you're going to always feel great about it. But he's not there consistently yet. And for a lot of these GMs, there's that little nagging feeling of, what if he doesn't get there? I have no doubt that Trotz has looked into it. You know, but it's a big price, and it's not like, you know, it's not like Nashville has a lot of things I think you'd want to give up for a player like that, unless you're absolutely convinced in the player.
Barry Trotz did not bring up any specific names, but in his recent talk pre-draft, he did sort of intimate he would like to find an established, I think the word he used was established defenseman, the right guy to add to the mix. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough resources to go get four guys or anything like that, but one defenseman. So do you have any in mind or any rumblings you're hearing of who that target could be?
Well, I think the one guy that a lot of people are kind of wondering about, and we'll see what happens with him over the next few days, is Aaron Ekblad. And, you know, he's a right shot D who's coming off the best hockey of his life, Willie. Mm-hmm. And I look at your right side and tell me if I'm wrong here, but in alphabetical order, I think your right side now is Baron Blankenberg Englund. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So, like, Ekblad would be an upgrade. I think it's going to be a I think he wants to stay in Florida. It's going to be a challenge for them to do it, a real challenge for them to do it. I don't know what I would say the likelihood, maybe 50-50 right now. But this is not a guy who was really interested in leaving Florida. He told the media before the final he would do what it takes to stay there. But if it still doesn't work out, it's not like Nashville is too far from there. And, you know, I mean, it would depend on your cap situation. The fact that you're a no-tax state has its benefits. It would depend on your cap situation. It would depend on how Ekblad feels. But I look at your roster, right shot D are hard to find. I, from a hockey point of view, it absolutely makes sense. I think we'd have to find out what's the interest of the player and can you guys make it work. But like, and the other thing, too, is after you guys went so big last year and it didn't work, I wonder if in any way you guys would be a little shy about it. But the way that that guy played this year, he looked fantastic, especially in the playoffs.
And people should know, if they didn't follow it during the regular season, he was suspended for an illegal performance-enhancing.
PED, yes.
Yeah, is that considered a one-time mistake, or are people raising their eyebrows and wondering if that affects his value at all?
I have to tell you, like, nobody has brought that up to me. Hmm. That's an issue now. I mean, years ago, that happened to Nate Schmidt, and he really disputed it. He was really upset about it because apparently the amount, it was like so minute. But hey, you know, Nate Schmidt is still playing. He just had a great playoff for the Panthers. So it's not like it's impossible that you can move on and still be effective. But nobody has raised that to me, Willie. Nobody.
Elliot, before we let you go, of course, the Predators have three picks in the first round of the draft tomorrow. They are not the only team with multiple first-round picks. The Penguins now have multiple first-round picks. Montreal has back-to-back picks in the middle of the round. I believe the Flyers have multiple picks. Of the teams that have multiple first-round draft picks, is there a team that you think is best positioned or likeliest to maneuver those picks in the first round?
I would say all of them would consider it. Like, I don't think you guys are doing anything with your fifth overall pick unless it's, you know, maybe moving up or down one or two spots if the draft unfolds certain ways. But I expect you guys to use that pick to in that area to draft a player. But the Predators also have 23 and 26, right? Like, I could see Barry doing something with that. I can definitely see Pittsburgh doing something with 11-12. I could definitely see Montreal doing something with 16-17 and Philly as well. Like I have to tell you, Adam, we all know who's going one. Schaefer's going one of the Islanders. Most people think Mises going two to San Jose, if not him, Frondell. And then I think you're going to see I think there's a lot of variance from there, Adam. Like, each team's lists are different from that point on. Like, who do you have at three, and then where are you going from there? So I absolutely do believe, depending on how this unfolds, you are going to see some teams move around, for sure.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, as he does every week during hockey season, presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, always a pleasure. Enjoy the festivities, the stretch run for you here. Draft, free agency. I know cottage season is just around the corner.
Yeah. You know, Adam, I'll tell you, so this morning I was up at 5 a.m. local because you got to be on Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
I went for like a two-hour walk, and one of my camera guys told me, saw me, and says, you know you're wearing your shirt inside out, right? So that's the kind of day it's been already.
Oh, well, I don't blame you.
But burning the candle on both ends.
Yes. But
sometimes you got to do it.
We look forward to all of your coverage
Take
on Sportsnet.
Care, guys.
Thank you, Elliot. Elliot Friedman joining us on the program, 615. We've all been there. 615-737-1025. I want to talk about this Aaron Ekblad thing. I want to discuss that coming up next. But before we do, I do have tickets to give away. I've been meaning to do this. So be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. You will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park tonight, Al Hilal versus CF Pachuca at 8 p.m. at Geodis Park. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. You will win a 4-pack of tickets to that soccer match tonight. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Join Robbie and Rex Road, more specifically Robbie and Paul Kaharski, as they broadcast live at the Duncan Grand Opening in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard tomorrow morning. Starting at 8 o'clock, the first 100 people in line will win free coffee for 100 days, plus 1025 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Nashville concert. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Always a pleasure to chat with Elliot Friedman. Aaron Ekblad, that kind of struck me by surprise, Willie. Because you didn't bring up Aaron Ekblad.
No.
Elliot Friedman brought up Aaron Ekblad.
I brought up a general, are there any defensemen on the radar? Now, Elliot, he focused on the fact that, A, as we talked about on the show, right-hand, right-shot defensemen are harder to find than left-shot defensemen. And for a long, long time, the Predators had an embarrassment of riches on the right side, unlike many teams. Almost he never even thought about it. Because they were so deep there. Guys like Ryan Ellis. You know, they had really good right shot guys. Right now, that's no longer the case. And, you know, we've been through it. They traded Alex Carrier for another right shot guy in Justin Barron, who is a guy that has tools, but has some gaps in his game that he has got to shore up if he's going to be a good NHL player. I think we know what Carrier is at this point. And that's one to watch the next couple of years. Does Barron, who probably has a higher ceiling than Carrier has, does he reach it? Or would you rather have the steady personality that Carrier was? That's going to be a question, right? We'll always look back on that part of it. And they let Favreau go in the waiver wire. So they need a right shot. Barry Trotz brought up something to Jared that kind of slipped under the radar. He said, could we move... We might be thinking about moving somewhere, he said something of this nature, Roman Josi, who is a left-shot defenseman, over to the right side. They tried it with Brady Shea. It didn't work. But there are guys that I think could play. Roman Josi has played well on the right side, even though he shoots lefty. And Ryan McDonagh is the most recent example. Those two played very, very well. It takes the right guy. It kind of tells me that Barry Trotz has looked at this and like Elliot is pointing out that there aren't a great list right now of available right shot defensemen. Ekblad is a talent. He's 29. He was the first pick in the draft. He's an outstanding player. He's got a lot of wear and tear. He had the PED suspension, which, as Elliot said, doesn't look like it's going to affect anything. And it's a rising salary cap. And I think a lot of people are going to put a lot of money his way. I don't see a fit. Myself.
I don't either, because he was making $7.5 million per season on his previous contract. I can't imagine Aaron Ekblad is going to take a pay cut to join the Nashville Predators. I bet he would take a pay cut to stay in Florida. I don't think he's taking a pay cut to join the Predators. So, and as Elliot said, when considering how active the Predators were in free agency last summer, it seems that they may take a more measured approach, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word, this time around. The other thing I want to touch on is the question I asked him off the top about Jonathan Marchessault, because Elliott has been at the forefront. Remember, the first time I heard anything about Jonathan Marchessault potentially being traded was Elliott spitballing on an episode of the 32 Thoughts podcast. Yep. Just talking
about, and guess who they were talking about?
The Toronto Maple Leafs. Yes. The Toronto Maple Leafs. How does this affect the Leafs? But then, you know, the rumors started to swirl. And Elliott had been at the forefront of that reporting. He wasn't the only one reporting on it, by the way. So, I thought his answer to that question was interesting as well. So, it appears that Jonathan Marchessault will be here next season, as we have talked about when we were discussing this more in depth over the past month. I'm not giving Jonathan Marchessault away. I'm hopeful that it could work out here for him. He had a down season, but even in a down season, he had, what, nearly 60 points. So hopefully he can bounce back. He and Andrew Burnett end up on the same page. I do want to read a text. I have to find it. It was pretty funny. I'll see if I can find it about Barry Trotz. But let's go to Jared from Spring Hill on our text line. He says, so using that Baltimore Ravens model of drafting, just having more has more value because you need more swings. Is the NHL the same thing? Would it be worth it to move up to two for Michael Mesa and use the other first-round picks, or would one player not be as good as the other two or three players?
I think in a general sense, the more tosses you have at the dartboard, the better you have of getting the hits. I believe that in a general sense, that's the same. What's different is every one of these kids is 18, and it's so crazy to try to project what the guy's going to look like when he's 22, 23. But it's a good question. There are some that it does happen sometimes. You package picks to move up and get one guy. They did it to get Roman Josi. They did trade a draft pick to move up a couple spots to get Roman Josi, I think, in the second round, right? Josi was second round, I think?
He was a second round pick. I don't recall what assets. That was before my time here, so I don't recall.
It wasn't a current player. I think it was just they threw a couple extra draft picks to move up a few spots to get Josi.
All right. I did find the text, thankfully. One texter on our Barry Trotz 1-5. DVD, Manny here. Nashville fans should be grateful to Barry. I grade him 4 out of 5. I'm comparing Nashville fans like bus drivers living with their mom and wanting to date Taylor Swift on Bumble right now. Nashville fans.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nashville fans, your championship time will come. Be patient. It could come on Saturday. Nashville Cats. Right? Right?
So what he's saying Saturday. Basically, all, what is it, cab drivers, truck
bus
drivers?
Bus drivers.
Bus drivers, they don't have a chance. Just don't have a chance. Might as well quit while you're ahead.
I don't think Taylor Swift is on Bumble, although she was in Nashville at Tight End U doing a concert.
There you go. So she was here, or is here. Let's say that.
Well, I think, I imagine she is here. Let's see here. I'm looking for one texter asked if the Predators decide to trade their later first-round picks, who would be a good target to help win now while also helping to build for the future? Well, you mentioned the Noah Dobson example in our conversation with Elliott.
Yeah, I think that would be the profile of a player. And as Elliott said, the price would be high. I think you have to be prepared for that. But you're looking for teams that I think would be on the list that we brought up yesterday. It's about a third of the league that's somewhere along the line, either beginning or trying to come out of a lengthy rebuild, that's probably looking at all of the guys they've picked in the last 5 or 6 years. They're all coming of age at the same time and some at different rates, and they can't pay them all. And some are probably ahead of the others. So I think you would be, if you could get somebody in that mid-20s, age-wise, right, 23 to 25, that's a hole on the current Predators roster that they would love to fill. And I think they could throw in a first-round pick, a late first-round pick in there. They could throw in a package of other seconds, thirds, and maybe throw in a fairly attractive prospect if it's something that comes back to them that's a guy that would be a piece that they'd be willing to invest in that maybe the other team, for one reason or another, is not able to invest in. So Dobson would be one. I would be looking at rosters like Columbus Anaheim, maybe San Jose. Buffalo certainly is one, and they just there's several examples just in the last few months.
The Sabres are a clearinghouse for this sort of thing.
Right, because they have too many high picks and they haven't meshed together. They haven't they have to shake it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Predators, I don't know if they took a swing at Peterka, who could go a number of different ways. And that's the thing. These guys could go a number of different ways. I could see J.J. Peterka blossoming with Utah, where he got traded. And that turns out to be a great trade for Utah. And I could see him just being a decent player that is maybe a little overpaid at the investment. They did the Kyle Turris. They are paying him $7.7 million for how many years?
I think five.
For 5 years before he's ever played a game for Utah. That's a little bit of a risk. Just like we see how it could go bad. The Predators traded for Kyle Turris. And they signed him to a long-term deal before he had ever played a game for him.
One texter, Grading Trot, says, I'm giving him a 2, but I could easily give him a 1 because he still talks about getting younger and faster, but all the moves he's made has made them older and slower. I just wonder if it's time that the franchise hires someone from completely out of the organization to bring in some new ideas to propel them to the next level. This sounds like our caller at the beginning of the show, the expansion era blood still being in the stream, so to speak. So I argued that at one point that I think this was before David Poile retired, but I have at times thought that it would benefit the Predators greatly to bring in someone in the front office with no ties to the organization. Now, Trotz, of course, has ties to the organization, but as the two of you mentioned earlier, he left the organization for a long time. He went to two other organizations. He won the Stanley Cup with a different organization. He worked with different general managers. So his only experience wasn't being in Nashville. He had, what, about a decade of experience elsewhere. So Trotz is, of course, a Predators original. But I do cut him some slack because he did go elsewhere, find success elsewhere, learn from other people, and then brought it back.
I think that's a fair assessment for sure.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts, your grades on Barry Trotz. 1 to 5, 5 being the highest. How confident are you that Barry Trotz can return the Predators to Stanley Cup contender status? Jared Stillman will join us coming up next. I'm curious for his answer because of the way his viewpoint of Trotz has changed over the past few days. So I'm curious what Jared would have answered before his interview with Barry Trotz and now what it is after he's heard from Barry Trotz. We'll talk to Jared coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. I think we are still awaiting Jared Stillman. From our friend Elliot Freeman, breaking news left and right, Nikolaj Ehlers of the Winnipeg Jets, he will go to free agency on July 1st. He will test the market.
I think he's going to get a gross amount of money.
I'm a big fan of Nikolaj Ehlers, but probably not too, for what he's going to get.
I think that is in the category of what Ekblad would be, right? I think if you thought it was a lot of money last year for what the Predators spent, I think it will pale in comparison to this year because – number one, there's not many guys. And number two, everybody's got a little more money to spend. So it's like burning a hole in their pocket. So, we didn't get into the Marner thing. I also think something to watch for, there seems to be a growing trend of thought that a guy like Marner and maybe McDavid next year, or maybe if McDavid does sign an extension this summer, will go for that 2 or 3 year extension and try to hit it big again. So say they make 14 or 15 million for the next 2 or 3 years, but then when they're still in their prime, they could hit it again when the cap goes up more and they'll end up with a lot more money that way and not just do what most people do, sign the 8-year deal or the 7-year deal.
Let's bring in Jared Stillman. So Jared, I took a page out of my old playbook and ask Predators fans, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest, what is your confidence level that Barry Trotz can turn the can return the Predators to Stanley Cup contender status? I have two questions for you. What would have your answer been before you spoke to Barry Trotz the other day, and what is it after?
I mean, I'd probably say I'm somewhere around 3 right now, and I probably would have felt that way regardless of what he had said the other day. I mean, I really need to know what happens over the next 5 days, and then I'll have a real feeling as to where this team is headed and what this team is going to be trying to do. You know, I mean, I didn't exactly hear exactly what Elliott said, but he did bring up Bill Haslam's influence in this and what Bill Haslam wants out of this team, and we don't know. And so I want to see who they draft tomorrow night. I want to see what they do with the other two picks. If Barry Trotz, you know, doesn't do anything out of the ordinary except take James Higgins and then take two kids at 23 and 26 and then uses the second round pick, whatever, then I feel like the Predators at best will have a shot at being in the muddy middle, which I think we're all kind of tired of, even though they were horrible last year. I think I'd rather be horrible than be in the muddy middle. But if they do some out-of-the-box thinking, that may change my opinion. So I understood the question. I think it's a great topic. I thought that the it was a very polarizing discussion, which I liked. But I need to see what they do on Friday night, because that is going to tell me the direction of the franchise one way or another.
We will talk more in depth about the NHL draft tomorrow with, of course, the first round of the NHL draft being tomorrow. You mentioned James Higgins. The two players we've been talking a lot about at this fifth spot, Porter Martone and Higgins. I know that you feel that the Predators certainly love Higgins. We've had Scott Wheeler on the program. He says they have eyes on Porter Martone. Which of those two players would you prefer? If that's the choice, which player would you prefer the Predators take at number 5?
Knowing that none of us have watched either of these
Correct.
Guys.
So I think I would need to see how they have these guys graded. Because to Willie's point, I don't have an opinion on any of these guys. You know, all I know is what Scott Wheeler's written in The Athletic. I mean, I'm telling you, right, like, that's all I know. Before that, when we knew the team was going to suck, we were told there were three good players in this draft: Schaefer, Misa, and Higgins. So I was saying, hey, you got to get one of the top three picks. Then, when it seemed like there may be a chance they may not get one of the top three picks, I got introduced to this Porter Martone. And I'm like, okay, well, Porter Martone. He scores, but he's not a center. And then there's been all the talk about all the other guys, and all I can tell you is what I've read. I haven't watched the tape. I haven't any of that.
No Jared's film room yet on Porter Martone?
Hadn't started no. yet? Oh, my goodness.
I am not wasting time on 17-year-old Nova Scotians. And the second I start doing that is the second that we got real problems.
Martone is from Ontario, but that's okay. But your point is taken.
Etobicoke, here's what I would say as far as, like, the decision between the two. If Scott Wheeler is the general manager of the Predators, and Scott Wheeler said that he thinks there's a tiny gap between the two, thinks they're very close, but he has Higgins at 3 and Martone at 4. And if they're both there, then you take Higgins because he plays a more premium position. If they're stacked together, if you say, and this is where the number grades come in, and I don't know how they do it in hockey, but this is why number grades are important in the NFL. If James Higgins is a 6-4, and Porter Martone is a 6-4, and so they're roughly equal, then you take the center. Tie goes to the center. If you've got James Higgins at a 6-1 and Porter Martone at a 6-5, then you take Porter Martone. That's the way I view it. And it's impossible for me to know, not having done the research, as far as who should be ranked where, you know, what the gap between Higgins and Martone is for the Predators. And so this is where the evaluating skills come into effect. And this is why I think I get a little turned off by all the talk about having to be good right away next season because they signed Steven Stamkos to a contract, when I'm saying, like, the determination of whether or not Barry Trotz is going to be a good general manager should be on can he evaluate talent in the draft. You know, that when he took over, they had a buku of picks. And so some guys are better than others at scouting out talent in the draft. It's just a fact across all sports. So I always figured that was going to be what determined whether or not Barry Trotz could actually do this. Now it seems like he has kind of put himself on the clock by having signed those guys to the contracts and him saying that his goal is for next season. But again, it depends on how they have him scouted out. If it's close and there's a slight edge to Martone, I think I would take Higgins. But if it's not close, and if one guy's much better than the other guy, then I'm going to take the better player, period. That's just how it is.
Now, one of our call, we had a caller, Jared, that tried to make the argument about the Nashville Predators having too much expansion blood still within the organization, because he talked about Brunette coming back as being the head coach, Barry Trotz, Sean Henry still here, and some other guys that guys and girls that Willie named. What do you think about when someone calls and says something? Do you really get into it and try to analyze it, or you just think it's, nah, that's not the case here?
I mean, I definitely think the expansion blood thing's a problem. I mean, I heard the call, and I do agree with the caller. I mean, I don't agree with everything he said, but I do agree with the fact that I think there's like this Predators way of thinking. And I'm not sure that Barry Trotz has completely lost the Predator way of thinking. And Willie, I love you with all my heart, but sometimes I think that you've got a little bit of that Predator way of thinking in your blood.
Okay, so define that then. What's your definition of Predator way?
Well, I was talking about is that a bad thing to have a way? It is. I was talking last week about the what I call sorrowism. You know, this like there's like some disease.
I prefer sorrowcitis versus sorrowcism.
Whatever you like. But there's a disease that you people have. I mean, it must be contagious on those airplanes, Willie, because you people have it. Adam doesn't have it. Adam does not have. He won't say it because he don't want to pick a fight with you guys.
Okay, wait. I'm trying to couch it down to what you're saying. You're saying over loyalty to a fault? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, just the Predator way. Just the.
Okay, but you're saying the Predator way. I'm asking for a definition of what that is.
I was thinking
that's
about this
different
today.
than a lot of other.
I think not to speak for Jared, he's about to speak anyway. But I think it speaks to the perhaps uncharacteristic loyalty that the Predators organization shows.
Just the Poyle way of doing things. And I was thinking about this today, and this is where I feel like it may hinder them from a strategic standpoint. You know, I was thinking about what everybody is telling me. Everybody tells me they're going to take Martone. There's a mock draft at ESPN.com in which they say everybody thinks the Predators are going to take Martone. And I know the way that the Predators do business. And the way the Predators do business is they would take James Hagans with that pick. Knowing how the Predators do business. He's a U.S. national team kid, which has always been a big deal to David Poyle. He is a center, which they have lacked forever, and all they've ever done, and I agree with this, is bemoan the fact that they don't have good centers so much that they traded away Seth Jones and then later overpaid Ryan Johansson, who probably didn't have the personality for the big contract. But they did it because they had to, because they got to have a center. So that's the Predator way of doing things. This Brady Martin kid seems to be the most competitive kid that some of these people have ever seen. That, to me, is kind of a Trotz thing. But I was thinking about this from the standpoint of the makeup of the scouting department and the makeup of the front office beneath Barry Trotz. We all know Barry Trotz ultimately answers for every draft pick that is made, every signing, every trade. He is the face of the organization. That's what happens. But all of these guys in the front office are David Poyle guys. All of these scouts are David Poyle scouts. And so I'm thinking to myself, when it comes to making a trade, you know, Adams talked about trying to buy low on somebody and develop them. Well, if you had an assistant general manager or if you had people that have been in other organizations, there would be other ways of thinking inside that room. And I'm just convinced that there's just too much Predator way in there. And I think the caller's right to a certain extent that they need to do business a little bit differently than they've done in the past.
Okay, that's a fair hypothetical argument. I don't have a problem with that. Let me throw one more at you from your interview with Barry Trotz, which I thought was interesting because I think
outside of the first 4 minutes, you thought it was good.
Yes, I thought you were pushing for something that you weren't going to get, but once you moved on, I thought it was really, really good.
He gave it to me.
I know, but
didn't you see the exact second when Jared's heart ripped it
exactly.
down?
We've crossed that bridge. I want to ask you about you asked him about Brunette, and you tried to get him to put a little more detail on how he's challenged Brunette to think outside the box, adjust, expand. And I thought it was really good conversation how he said, I made a lot of mistakes when I was a young head coach. And I think what he was getting at is, I think when you're young and you have early success, you think your way is the best way and I'm sticking with it. And now he sort of challenged him to adjust and think broader.
So I understand the idea of developing a coach, and I'm fine with that, except for the fact that you're telling me that you want to win right now, and all the data that I have in front of me says that Andrew Burnett, for whatever reason, can't get through to these players.
Right, it's the road less traveled. There's no question about it. Very few people would go down this road, and that's, I think, what having a coach becoming a GM is unique, right? That's not, very few others would do it that way because they've never been a coach.
I mean, I said to Barry Trotz, the last interview we did on the final game of the season, because I believe, Willie, the final game of the season was on a Wednesday this year, and Barry Trotz was on our program, and I said to him, I go, you know, in every other organization, I think they'd fire the coach. But this one, with you as the GM, I think it's a little different. And, I mean, hey, maybe he'll learn from his lessons, but I know this. I talked to somebody when Toronto was in town who would know hockey, and I said, do they need to fire the coach? And they said to me, well, he's obviously not getting through to them, so you got to change something, and they're not.
That'll do it for us today. Stillman & Company coming up next, but programming note, Derek, before you sign us off, Willie and I will present a special edition of Preds Insiders directly following Stillman & Company. So stick around at 6 o'clock, Willie and I, an extra hour of hockey talk for all of you to preview the draft and free agency. But we will all see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Thursday. Stay cool and peace.